Sister Lenora Weyer, interviewing Sister Mary Bernice Treadle. The date, November 28, 1984. Sister, I would like to visit with you a little bit about your stay at St. Ansgar Hospital in Moorhead. Tell us a little bit about where you were born and your younger life.
I was born in North Prairie, Minnesota on August 1st, 1912. And I came to the St. Francis Convent on October 15, 1932. And then from there, I was sent to get education in medical technology. And I came to Moorhead, Minnesota in 1938, and I was there until 1960.
Where did you get your professional education in the medical technology?
In St. Scholastica in Duluth, Minnesota, and the internship at St. Mary's Hospital in Duluth. And I became a registered medical technologist in 1938 and X-ray technology in 1941.
When you came to Moorhead, I'm sure things were different than they are now. Would you like to tell us a little bit about what you did when you came to Moorhead?
First, I was establishing myself in medical technology in a one room, which was very inadequate at the time. For my equipment to work with, I had one red pipette and one white pipette and a centrifuge that had only two test tube holders, which centrifuged in the open, and it was not enclosed, so that if you got too close, you got hit by the tubes that were flying. And I had to use a Bunsen burner to do the urine sugars in which was done in an open flame. And I had a monocular microscope. And these were really primitive equipment. And then in X-ray, we didn't have shockproof X-ray machine. And so I got shocked several times. One time we were fluoroscoping, and we had to do this in a dark room, and the radiologist stepped on the foot switch at the same time that I pulled the chain, which directed the current from the X-ray tube on the top of the table to the one underneath. And by doing that, when he stepped on the switch and I had my hand on the chain, I got a shock that threw me, and I was unconscious for a brief time. And then when I removed my shoe and stocking, I had a black hole in my toe, which meant that the current went through me and out through my toe. And for about 2 weeks, it was just like a shock treatment. I couldn't remember to count to 10. Beyond that, I couldn't. And so it was really kind of frightening for a while, but then it all straightened out again. And then we had an elevator that was anything but automatic, and so that we had to run and get it wherever it was on whatever floor, if we had a patient to bring up to third floor. And by the time we would get with the patient to the elevator, somebody else would have the elevator, so then you could run again to get it. And then we had to run it with a crank. You didn't have any push buttons. And then we had a dictating machine that was really antique. It used the wax cylinders. And if you dropped it, of course, all the dictation was gone. And then we had to shave the cylinders, which made them very thin at times, and that made them very easy to break. And then the portable x-ray machine we had, we didn't have an automatic timer on it, so that when you made an exposure, you had to count one and two and three, whatever length of time you felt that it took to make the exposure. And then you snapped the switch. So all these things, when you talk to the younger people now, they just don't believe you, because they just think that such a thing could never have been. But it was.
How many employees did you have in the x-ray department and the laboratory department and medical records department?
In those first years, I was the only one in medical technology, radiology, medical records. I cleaned one of the chaplain's rooms. I fed a patient three times a day, and I circulated in surgery.
It seems that you were kept very busy. I'm sure many interesting and kind of unusual things happened during those days, but how did you get around so many places?
Well, at the time, the volume wasn't as great, but as time went on, more work was added to all these departments, so that it became necessary that I had to have help. I just couldn't do it by myself anymore, so that I got my first help, one person, in the early 40s. It must have been about the middle of 1940 that I got my first helper.
At what point in time did we get a director of radiology or a director of the laboratory?
Medical. First, it was in radiology, and it must have been around 1943, and in lab, it was later, maybe like about 1947. And then first, we sent out our tissue specimens from surgery. But then we had the use of the services of the pathologist in Fargo after that, until later years when we got our own at St. Ansgar's.
Prior to the taking on the medical directors for these departments, did each doctor take care of his own x-rays and interpret his own lab reports?
That's right. The doctors all read their own x-rays, but at the time we did not do fluoroscopy, that is, examining the GI tract or IVPs, because the radiologists were not versed, practitioners were not versed in that field, so that those examinations were sent to Fargo, where they did have a resident radiologist.
I understand too that you also helped out in the business office on hard to find coverage for shifts. Is that true?
Yes, it is. I also helped there, and many times I would have to organize my work so that while I was not in the lab, I would be writing out lab reports and doing it in the office. Or when I circulated in surgery, I would write out my reports there. And I also would take BMRs while I was circulating in surgery, which meant leaving the operating room. And I also would have a patient on the x-ray table and would be taking an IVP exposure. And I would make the exposure and put the film in the developer. And I'd run back to the operating room to see if they needed anything. And then by that time, it was time to take the film out of the developer and put it in the fixer. And so I did, I made many miles during those years.
In general, were the, could you keep up with all of those tests or all of those procedures and still get all of your work and filing and everything else done?
Well, I managed. But it got to the point where I was almost having a nervous breakdown, because it was, as the work increased in volume, I just couldn't do it alone. And so it was very, at times, very depressing.
Sister, how many doctors were on the staff, and who were they at the time you came in 1938?
The ones that I remember are Dr. Humphrey, Dr. F.A. Thysel, Dr. Sear, and Dr. Duncan.
Then that gradually grew in number, and I'm sure by the time you left, they were probably tripled in number?
Well, yes. There were very many doctors added after that. There was Dr. Simonson in Barnesville, and then Dr. Ingebrigtsen was with Dr. Humphrey in the clinic, and Dr. Duncan and F.A. Thysel were together. And then Dr. Oliver came, and Dr. Burt and Schneider, and Seitz, and and then Dr. V.D. Thysel came along, and Dr. Humphrey Jr. was there for about a year, and then Dr. Carlson came, and Dr. Holton, and that was about it while I was there.
Sister, when you left St. Ansgar's, did you retire, or what did you do after that?
From St. Ansgar's, I went to Dodgeville, Wisconsin for 5 years, and from there to Sauk Center, Minnesota for 5, and then I went back to Moorhead for another 5, but I was in medical records then. I was not in x-ray and lab anymore.
What do you think of your life? Was it enjoyable? Would you do it all over again?
Not in lab and x-ray. In the years that I came to the convent, we did not choose our life work. It was told us with what job we were to have. So that's why I was in medical technology and x-ray, but I did not care for it. It was something I did, but I did not enjoy it. But I did enjoy medical records, and I still am active in medical records part-time at the present time. But that job I enjoy.
I am sure there are many interesting things happened in your life, but what year did you leave Moorhead, and what do you think was the best part of your life there?
The first time I left Moorhead in 1960, and even if we did have to work hard, and it was night work plus day work, we helped with the garden produce, and we helped in the kitchen, and we helped in the laundry, and all that part I enjoyed, because it was a simple way of enjoyment. We didn't have television and radio, but we did have wonderful times.
What was probably the most difficult aspect of your life during these years?
It was doing laboratory and x-ray work. And the night call was hard, because you worked your full time. It was not an 8-hour day, and you didn't have vacations, and you didn't have time off and days off. So it was, when the work was there, you had to do it, whether it was night or day.
Sister, we appreciate your time in helping us gather together the information. Is there any other kind of information that you think might be pertinent to the medical history of this area of Minnesota?
Well, I appreciate being asked to help in this project, and right now I can't think of anything more than what I have already said, but I really endorse such a project so that it gives other people a history of what happened years gone by.
Thank you very much, Sister.